going, yeah, baby. Yeah. It's another week of the Jet Stream.
Now
yeah,
that's Gotham intro.
Sports Network. Yeah, baby. With me as always, Connor Sheeran. Connor, holy shit, man. Oh, man, that was the best. That was the best. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
This could be like the longest pod ever, so we could gush over shit, or like we could just, it could be like the a five-minute pod, just be like, what more do we need to say?
Yeah.
What do we need to say here? I mean, it was just like, it was the wildest like minute and a half of like our entire football lives.
I know. It's unbelievable. I spent so much time since that game just watching the highlights over and over and over again. Like, I've spent probably like 5-6 hours in total scrolling, specifically just typing like the Jets, Garrett Wilson, sure. You know, the Browns even, just to see the Browns fans' reactions.
I gotta say, Jeff Lowe from Barstool, from Lights Camera Barstool, is a big Cleveland fan, and he was at the game yesterday, and his pain that you could see from his tweeting, and like he posted a video like right after it, and it's just like, I don't even know.
I haven't even watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. What can you say?
My buddy was there.
Jeff?
My friend was there, and then there was another guy I know who was there. They're both Browns fans. One left with a minute, like 2 minutes to go.
No.
His phone died, so he didn't know until the Browns lost until like 15 minutes after he left.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the other said it was the second worst loss he's ever seen in person. I believe it was Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Okay.
Against the Cubs. Right. As an Indians fan.
Yeah, I could see that.
The worst. Which, yeah. Definitely.
Game 7 of the World Series should certainly weigh heavier than Week 2 of an NFL season.
yeah. So that was definitely, so that, listen, we've been in that situation, it feels like, so many times. Just like, as a Mets and Jets fan, just knowing, it's not even like the losing, it's how they lose usually.
Yeah.
Right? It's the excruciating losses. And like, I'm not one of those fans who can just be like, yep, it was December 16th, it was 1976, and this happened on that play, and that's why we lost. Like, obviously I wasn't alive in 1976, but you know what I mean. But like, all like the bad stuff that's happened, like there's a few that like I can be like, oh yeah, this happened, that was terrible, butt fumble, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like everything else, like I've just pushed it out of my mind. Like are you watching Only Murders in the Building?
Oh, I love that show.
Have you caught up in season 2?
Yeah.
So like, you know how like Mabel just like cut, like I just watched this episode as before we got on, like Mabel just like just cuts memories out of her mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. That's like with Jets.
Yeah,
I just like this terrible Jets things and Mets things. I just cut it out, and I just don't remember them. I choose not to. So, but this is a memory I'm going to hold near and dear to my heart for a very long time. It's going to stay in the forefront of the frontal lobe for a very long time. So, all right, walk me through those final 2 minutes for you. What was it like? Who were you with? What was going on? Where were you? What was going down?
It was just me in my apartment. I was sitting like, it was one of those times where it's like, you know, things are going kind of well when you're doing a certain thing, kind of like, you know, the jinx thing. So I was like sitting kind of like, I wasn't lying down. I wasn't kind of like relaxed. I was sitting kind of like in the edge of my couch all game because it was like Jets scored their first touchdown when I was doing that. So I'm like, all right, I got to keep this going.
I'm not moving.
So then, like they let the Browns kind of march down the field there at the end. And then a lot of people are getting on Chubb for running in the end zone there at the end, which in hindsight, he should have gone down to let the clock run out. But a lot of times you got to remember that these guys are number one. They're getting in the end zone. That's like the first thing they're told. So, you know, I mean, thank God he did, you know, could have easily run the game out. But once that touchdown happened, I was like, all right, well, the game was pretty much already over at that point anyway. And then, you know, Jets get the drive. I'm glad to see that they're not just like kind of running out the clock here. So then the pass to Corey Davis happens. And I'm like, All right, well, it's a garbage time touchdown. You know, a little extra stat padding, no big deal. And then the onside kick. And it was like, wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Could, no.
Nah.
Well, there's no way. I mean, when was the last time you saw a successful Jets onside kick? I can't remember. Like,
I don't know.
You can't remember. And then
the last successful onside kick in general, I can remember. It was like that one in the Packers game that they lost, and they lost. It was the NFC Championship, I think, to the Seahawks.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that receiver just like botched the jump ball.
That's right.
Seattle got it back and scored, and they went to the Super Bowl or whatever it was.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Or maybe it wasn't the Super Bowl, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe it was the NFC Championship that they went to because of that. But yeah, that was like oh, Rodgers can't do it. That's the last one I can think of, honestly.
Right. No, yeah, it makes sense. And then, the Jets get the ball back, and then they marched right down the field. You know, time was like, you know, they managed that clock really well. You know, they didn't have any timeouts left, so they had plenty of time. They had over a minute. So they were marching down the field. They knew they needed the touchdown. And then Joe Flacco to our guy.
Garrett Wilson. Yeah.
Touchdown number two, you know. Speaking selfishly as an Elijah Moore fantasy starter, I kind of wish one of those touchdowns went to Elijah Moore or Michael Carter. Either one would have worked. But, I mean, at the same time, it was out there. And tell me you weren't having a mini panic attack when Zerline had to go out there for that extra point.
No, panic attack was the next drive when Brissett got the ball and then he scrambled to like the 50. And I'm like, it's over. I said, it's over. And then the next pass was an interception. And I lost.
People said it, Ashton Davis.
Yeah, of course.
His only play of the game, too.
He's the guy I user with when I'm the Jets in Madden. I put him at sub linebacker and I just run around because he's got like 93 speed or whatever. And I just run around at linebacker with him picking people off. It's great. The Jets are actually amazing in Madden. It's awesome.
Yeah, they are. What about you?
All right. So you mentioned Nick Chubb and the fact that like people are giving him a lot of shit for scoring. Yeah, he definitely shouldn't have scored in hindsight. But like if you actually watch the play, it was either he scored or he had to go out of bounds and the clock stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a decision to make. I guess he technically could have just dove and landed short.
Right.
But like when you're on that edge, you're not thinking like – you're thinking like, all right, the first down's like – the first down marker was like on the three
mm-hmm.
or the two, right? So like he didn't have a lot of space there and he just made one cut. Like I just watched it again. Like, let me rewind that. Like, it just popped up on my TV. It was on the Michael Kay show. They were showing it. So he gets the ball. They're on the 12 yard line, cuts, breaks the tackle, 29's there. Yeah, he had to score. He had no other, like, otherwise, he would have been tackled out of bounds. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, like, he could have just, like, let the guy tackle him. But he probably would have been brought out of bounds. And I bet he was thinking to himself, like, I can't go out of bounds. I don't want the clock to stop. And then he just scored, and that was it. You're thinking like, all right, extra point. You're up two possessions. You know, even then, like, you'll go, like, if there's a minute 55, or he's the Jets, like, you're thinking, like, the defense is just going to close out.
The Jets had
no timeouts. Yeah. Wow, they're talking to Steve Young about this. I kind of wish I was listening to this right now instead of listening to myself talk. So that happens, and I actually turned the game off. I put on Red Zone. And then I look at my phone, and I got a notification that Corey Davis scored a 75-yard touchdown, or 66-yard touchdown, I guess it was. And I was like, what? what the fuck? Excuse me? And I turn it back, and I rewind, and he's just wide open.
Couldn't have been more open.
Could not have been more open. Like, and he was that open a bunch of times last week, too, and Flacco didn't hit him. This time they, like, had Garrett Wilson on the field, and they were thrown to him a lot, which was fantastic. Great watching the offense this week. I never felt, like, nervous that, like, they weren't going to go down and, like, be successful and, like have a successful drive. Like, they just kept on moving the ball, and I was like, all right, this is what I'm fucking talking about. You know, this is what I'm talking about. So then the onside kick happens and I'm losing my mind. Like I'm watching the game outside and like, I'm just yelling. The whole neighborhood probably heard me. Like I'm like a lunatic. And then we get the onside kick I'm like if you saw the video of the onside kick, which you obviously have, have you seen Garrett Wilson's reaction?
Oh my God, yeah.
Because that was me. That was me just jumping up close to me, pumping my fist, like just yelling. So, and then, yeah, and then, I mean, there's not much else to say. I mean, we score the touchdown, more fist pumps, more screaming, more yelling. And I mean, it was just so unbelievable. It was madness. Yeah, it was. I could not believe. I cannot. I still can't believe that they won that game. Now, like as much as like how awesome it is, like, you know, it's only week two,
right?
Job finished.
Job ain't finished. I don't think so.
Job ain't finished. I don't think so. Job ain't finished.
To quote the late Kobe Bryant, job ain't finished.
Job ain't finished. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm happy. I'm so happy. I was so happy yesterday. This is the last time I'm letting myself be happy. And then we move on. Then we're on to Cincinnati.
Sunday at 1 o'clock. MetLife Stadium. You're ready.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Right. We're on to Cincinnati. And, I mean, everyone's kind of getting out of hand here, I think. Everyone's kind of jumping on it now, just being like, hey, they could go 3-1. I'm like,
Listen. 3-1.
I know it's doable based on.
No. Let's save this for later. We have a rundown we're gonna stick to here. That's something I have on the rundown. Don't you worry. The 3-1. So I think we need to start with this. After we give our initial reactions, we went a little out of order here, but it's fine. You know, the apology can wait, and it's waiting for now. We all owe Joe Flacco, Sir Joe Flacco, because he should do that after what he just did. An apology. For now. He gets an apology for now. Now he can come out and just be like butt cheeks against the Bengals, and would that shock me? No,
not a little bit.
Not at all. Now, I gotta say, I think it's really great. Like, I think we underrated the fact that like Flacco played in the AFC North for like his whole career, and now like he's started like the first four games he's going to start in all against the AFC North, which by the way, yeah, our first four games are just against the AFC North.
I know. I still can't believe that the schedule makers were like, oh yeah, this will be fun. It's like,
yeah, it's the AFC North.
It's like three out of those four teams were predicted to be at least pretty good, you know?
Yeah. And the Steelers would be like, all right, like we're catching the Steelers without TJ Watt, which is awesome.
Yeah,
you know, they look like garbage against the Patriots and everything. Trubisky, yeah, but like, listen, we're saving that conversation.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're jumping ahead. We're just excited. That's what we are. We're excited. It was a fun football game. We owe Joe Flacco an apology. He was fantastic at the end of that game. He was not very good throughout the game. Like there was a lot of throws that he missed. Like he was adequate for a good stretch of that game and like kept it close. And then like, he just missed a bunch of throws. And it was more on the defense. The reason why the Jets, like the game kind of got away from them. They couldn't cover a screen pass to save their lives.
No,
they still are lacking that speed at linebacker. You know, Quan Alexander and CJ Mosley, just like, they're just not there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there on those screen passes. And I mean, I think that they're well aware. I think the coaches are going to be screaming them out saying like, listen, like, how many times are you going to let these guys beat on a screen pass?
Can't
like,
stop come on. Bleed.
I know. It was ridiculous. Especially after the way they looked against the Ravens in that rushing attack. Like,
yep.
I mean, the Browns' rushing attack's amazing. Like, their offensive line's very good, and they have two of the best running backs in football, and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Like, those guys were just running roughshod on us at the end of that game, and, like, it didn't feel like we could stop them at all.
Not even a little bit.
But then Joe Flacco, cool Joe. You know, he looked like, I've heard this a bunch of times, and I'll use the line that people have been using. He looked like 2012 Joe Flacco.
That's right.
He did. He looked fantastic at the end of that game, poised. Like, now, did I believe in him at all? Absolutely not. He's getting an apology. That's why he's getting an apology, because he deserves one, because he earned one.
He does.
Earned one for now.
Exactly. For now. He could very well go out there, like you said, next week in Cincinnati and take an absolute dump.
It's in New York. Against Cincinnati.
Go out against Cincinnati. I'm looking at some of my tweets from the afternoon. There was three straight tweets. It was right when they were still down a touchdown. They got the ball back on their 15 or something like that. So Flacco had a shot at like leading a drive downfield, scoring a touchdown, getting them, you know, tying up the game. So I went from time to show everyone why you're elite, Joe Flacco, to Joe Flacco threw that ball to absolutely nobody. Joe Flacco with an absolute disaster class in quarterbacking on that drive.
Disaster class.
And that was literally, what time was that? 3:49. So that was like basically right before the game ended. You know?
You went
from that to, you know, saving the day, basically. And I mean, like you said, it wasn't a good game for him. Like, it was and it wasn't. It's such a weird thing to say for a guy that threw over 300 yards and four touchdowns. Because there were plenty of passes, like you were saying, that he was just missing, like, by a very wide margin here. Like, he was missing guys by, like, 5 yards. Very much showing.
Yeah.
So, it was just such a bizarre game. But, like, I'll cut him all the slack he needs because of the last two drives. He went out there.
So, I went this. I had 129, so a half hour into the game. Joe Flacco was a joke. And then a half hour later at 158, Joe Flacco has negative awareness.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And then I said Tua was so – I tweeted earlier that a half hour after that, Tua is so bad, man. Tua just comes back and has six touchdowns. Oh, man.
We were just all over the place.
Then just a bunch of incoherent – like, I had another tweet that I'll discuss later. But, yeah, I mean, it was very impressive from Flacco. He made me eat my words. I still think that, like, all right, here's a question for you. Do you think Zach Wilson could have accomplished what Joe Flacco did on Sunday?
Yes. I think it was certainly doable because we have to remember that there were certain the receiver core is just so much better that I think if Flacco was out there with much of the receiver core, even from last year after guys went down or, you know, God forbid 2 years ago in 2020, that game ain't happening. I think the skill sets of these guys is just so much better than it used to that I think when Wilson returns in, you know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe three, depending on, I can't know how things progress, I think this is doable for him. He's yet in his career, I think, to throw over 300 yards. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I think he's capable of it.
I think he came close in that Titans overtime game, but
yeah, it was like 290 something.
Yeah, I think with guys like Moore, with Garrett Wilson now, I mean, I said it, TJ Conklin, can we get this guy some stick 'em? That's like two straight weeks with fumbles. Like, he keeps dropping them and at very inopportune moments. But Corey Davis can still go out there. He can, like, for as many drops as that guy has had, he still makes catches when you kind of need him.
Yep.
And then, you know, you got Breece Hall and you got Mike Carter, you know, Michael Carter. I mean, Breece Hall went out, scored a touchdown yesterday. They both went out there and were pretty effective. I think the skill set of these players is just so much greater that I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility that Wilson can do this when he gets back.
I hope so, man.
Me too.
I hope so. I mean, he's got, like, you know, I'm nervous for his return.
Me too.
I'm nervous for his return. I am. So we'll see. We're a couple weeks out from that though. So, you know, but that's definitely, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if he could have done that. I think he's capable of it for sure. I think that the Jets would have been much more in that Ravens game with Wilson at quarterback. I don't know if Zach has the poise yet to accomplish that comeback like Flacco did at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think that this will be a good learning experience to watch from the sidelines and see a comeback like that in person.
Yeah,
from a Super Bowl champion. Because love him or hate him, Joe Flacco has done it on the biggest stage possible.
Super Bowl MVP.
Damn right. All right, let's break this game down, man. I've been waiting to do this. I'm so excited. I love when the Jets. I mean, it's been last time the Jets won a game in September was 2018. And I don't, were you on the pod at that point?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was it Claudio?
I don't know.
Still doing it with us.
Go back and check the library.
But man, it was, so I think I missed the first drive.
Cause we got the ball. The Jets got the ball first.
Yeah. They punted.
Yeah.
I missed the first, drive. Cause I turned it on and there was like 12 something left in the, not 12. There was like like 10 something left in the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was 12 something left in the quarter, like 13 something. So yeah, that makes sense. Cause it was only a minute and a half to our long drive. So nothing to report there. Were you just like, oh good, like another three and out? Like
pretty much. I mean, it was just like, oh great, hot start, guys. You know, hot start.
so yeah, then they just move the ball. Brissett, honestly, like he's not that bad.
I mean, he was, I don't know if it was just bad play by the defense half the time, but he was looking pretty good. He was making throws. He was mobile.
Right.
You know? They only sacked once. Like,
Njoku, I felt like he was just killing us all day. And then he had that drop.
Yeah.
And then they just stopped throwing to him. But like they couldn't stop him and they couldn't stop the screens at all.
Nope.
And they couldn't stop the run game in general. Like,
they couldn't stop Cooper. Like,
yeah, Chubb had some big runs. Brissett had this big scramble. Had some scrambles on this drive. But it was early on at this point, like even that first drive where I was like, all right, so like they're not going to stop the run today at all.
Right.
That's just not something that was going to happen. At least that's what it felt like. I want to look up. Why isn't it showing? Yeah, I want to look at the box score because I know Chubb had 87 rushing yards.
I think, yeah.
How much did Kareem Hunt have? So Kareem Hunt had, so the Jets let up 184 rushing yards, which is just not what you want at all.
Right.
I think that's the Jets may have outgained them in total, though. No, they did not. Only 93 rushing.
Because how many did Brissett throw for?
229.
Okay.
So they beat him by a good amount.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper looked good.
He did.
I want to see the numbers against Sauce. I want to see like what, because so oh yeah, this I meant I just I thought about this earlier and I forgot what I was going to say and then I remember now. There was a point where all three of our first round picks got hurt in that game.
Yep.
Jermaine Johnson got hurt.
Is Johnson like what is? I feel
I,
like
I think I he's I, yeah that kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
But I think he's okay.
Okay.
Then. Sauce got hurt. Looked like he got hit in the knee. Like that, his knee, a knee went into his head. But he was okay. And then Garrett Wilson, that scared me. I thought he was like in trouble there. He had that catch on the sideline that he was pushed out of bounds and he landed on his back and he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
By the way, I listened to him talk after the game. He's like future TV star.
Oh yeah, no, I remember. I think I saw that too.
Yeah, like this guy just loves to like talk.
Right. Oh god, I loved it.
Yeah. Oh god, the best. And then Brissett had 43 rushing yards. Yeah, so it was, I mean, that first drive was just like the Brown said, I was like, great, it was awesome. And then that second drive by the Jets, I actually changed the channel before that Brandon Mann fake punt.
Oh wow, yeah.
I put on Red Zone for a minute and I was like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna go check what's going on in Red Zone. And that was huge. That may have been the game right there, honestly. Because, like, if you don't get that touchdown there, if you don't score there.
Browns start getting away with it.
Yeah, the Browns scored on the next drive. It would have been 14-0. You know, and then, you know, so the Browns scored the next drive. If you don't score here, and this is kind of where I started to, like, realize. I'm looking through it. I'm pretty sure it was this drive. That was the Garrett Wilson. That move he pulled. He pulled on the goal line. There's not a lot of guys who can do that.
I don't know who the defensive back was, but Wilson cooked him. Like, that was a beautiful thing.
I saw it from the I was watching him the whole time. I was just like, I just wanted to watch him that one play. I keyed in on him, and I was like, all right, let's see what he can do here. Jump ball. And I was like, I literally yelled. I was like, he cooked him. Cooked him. Throwing the ball. And he threw an easy touchdown. It was awesome. And then he was like screaming at that Browns fan, that kid.
Oh yeah,
like
in his face. I was like, get
he put up the OH. I loved it. I went from hating him to loving him very quickly because he was an Ohio State guy.
Right.
So yeah, then the Browns go down. They score again, easy. And then that fumble, that Clowney fumble.
Yeah.
Really was a kick in the nuts.
And again, like, just no awareness right there from Flacco.
Yeah, that was when I tweeted the no awareness. They were on the 12-yard line, like they had it.
Right.
But then the defense came up huge. It was absolutely massive there. This is the end of the half, actually. They get it stuffed in the 2-minute warning, and then they go on a 8-play 54-yard drive. God, these ads keep on playing. 8-play 54-yard drive that was so impressive.
Right.
I couldn't believe. So Flacco to Elijah Moore, and I can't wait till he gets more involved more. You know, like they start really like keying in on him, and like teams are starting to like worry about Garrett Wilson. So like Elijah just gets wide open all the time. It was this drive. Those first couple drives where I was like, all right, like we may have something with Garrett Wilson. Like he scored that touchdown, and then he just kept on getting open and making moves and plays. And I was like, oh wow, because that play he had against the Ravens, where it was like that throw, Joe had a threw across his body, and like he almost got that first down.
Oh, yeah.
And he made like four guys miss.
Yeah.
Including like he made Kyle Hamilton look stupid, their first round pick.
I remember watching that. I was like watching the replay. I'm like, oh God, why didn't he just go straight? He could have gotten the first down. Like if he just like, if he didn't make like that double move, like that last one, and he could have just possibly gotten that first down. Cause I mean, nothing frustrates me more when guys like get a little too fancy, you know, with the move.
Yeah.
They run backwards. Like
that's when you fumble.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing annoys me more than that. So watching that last week, I was like, oh God. But I mean, he came out there and he absolutely smoked them. And
yeah,
in every aspect, except for like the one drop, which was a pretty brutal one, to be honest.
Yeah. So, and he was
at the end of the game. Like they really needed that first down. So I was like, I think might've been like the real gut punch. I was like, okay, so this one's, if that happens, that's the sign that this one's over. You know,
I literally, after that drop, I texted in the chat and I was like, good game guys. Like to the two Browns fans who clearly weren't responding to any of us Jets fans. They're just ignoring us. You're like, I was just like, good game guys. You know, we couldn't stop a screen pass and Flacco was pretty awful. And then he wasn't awful.
and then he was like, he was great.
Yeah.
He's as good as you need him to be.
Yeah. The second half. So that getting that stop, that bend don't break, like they went in 11 play. It was a 5-minute drive, 11 plays, 76 yards, and they held them to a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely massive. Then they go on a Jets go on a 9-play, 22-yard drive. Then it was 4 plays, 22 yards. It was kind of like punt, field goal, tie game. I couldn't believe we were tied at that point.
I know.
Could not believe it.
They were tied at halftime, right?
Yeah, they were tied at halftime. And then, but like, still, like, I expected them to come out and just punch them in the face. And the Jets just didn't get. But then then they score a touchdown. We punt again. It was just getting a little punt. We're getting a little punt happy. We had one, two, three of our four possessions were punts, and we had a field goal, too. And then the craziness happened. Then they go up, like, that Garrett Wilson play. Like, I think we started at the, our own 8. Conklin, 4 yards. He fumbled. Mitchell recovers, which such an under, like not even underrated, just a massive play in the game, you know, where
to Max Mitchell, 2 games, he's been pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, he got a lot of help with Miles Garrett. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have to double up Miles Garrett. I mean, that's a no brainer. You can't stick a 4th-round rookie against Miles Garrett and hope for success.
So, right. I mean, Clowney got hurt too, which was huge. Right.
Yeah. And I thought he was going to come back in because he was like running up and down the sidelines, still limping kind of a bit, but
yeah,
I thought he was going to come back in. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, the offensive line had an up and down kind of day. I felt like Elijah Vera Tucker still far and away the Jets' best offensive lineman, and I think that's exactly what they needed him to be. And I mean, other than that, there was like the strip sack by Garrett. Like we already said, that was, you know, that was bad blocking on Fant's part. But yeah. Flacco's got to be a little more well aware of that. And also, the refs missed a ton of, like, false start penalties on George Fant. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, I feel like he moved before the snap a lot.
I feel like that happens. I always am like, oh, like, it feels like the left tackle, like, got off a little early there. Right. But, like, they just never call that. It's weird. I don't understand. Yeah. There was one phantom call on George Fant. Offensive holding. Like, 2nd and 5 in Cleveland 29. Carter had like a screen pass for 24 yards. They would have been like in on the 5 yard line basically. And then I got held back for holding, which was bullshit.
Yeah.
And then two Flacco incompletions later, and it was a field goal and we tied the game. And then the next drive, they go down and score, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was, I mean, listen, I wouldn't change anything about this game, but that definitely screwed the Jets and took some momentum away from them where they thought that they were going to like really like take, they finally even like even take the lead. They would have taken the lead. They would have gone up 24-17.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there wouldn't have even need to have been a miracle. Like they could have just driven down and won the game. Then those two drives, I mean, two plays, 75 yards. I didn't even watch this drive, but I did see, I didn't even watch it. I turned the game off. I was like, this is over. I did see, so Connor Hughes on Twitter did like a next gen stats thing, which was very cool.
Oh, I actually did see that. It was very cool.
Right? Where essentially they really set that play up. I want to find Connor. Bad radio here, folks. So this was fantastic. They essentially that long out route play that Elijah Moore caught earlier in the game. It was a very similar play. So it's just 3 quarters in the making. So he runs like almost like a. He runs probably 20 yards and goes out, right? And Denzel Ward's on him, and Denzel Ward, like, thinking, like, he'll be going deep, last the first down gain on the sideline, basically. And big anticipation throw there. It was a good play. Then right before the Davis TV, they ran the exact same play.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it instead of – and Moore was open again.
Yep.
And Denzel was on him, but instead they threw to Conklin in the flat, right?
Right.
And got a 9 yard gain. So the next play, Denzel Ward's on Corey Davis, and it's a very similar formation. It's a very similar formation, but it's flipped, and instead of. Yeah, this is beautiful. So instead of, Corey Davis was in the spot that Elijah Moore was on the first two plays.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of running that out route, he ran, they call it a 7 pump.
Okay.
Basically like a go route. And Denzel was expecting him to kind of cut off and round out the route and do the exact same route that Elijah Moore did. This time he didn't do that.
He did not.
Yeah, he just kept going, and he tried to undercut it for an interception. Davis gets behind. It was too late. So I thought that was brilliant. That's Mike LaFleur right there, just being really good at his job.
I was like, it was weird. Do you think – I got to imagine that this is playing part of it, but like LaFleur, as the season went on last year, got so much more creative with his play calling. I'm guessing that had to do something with the athletic ability of Zach Wilson, because like I just haven't seen it in these first two games so far, especially week one. It was such like a vanilla, boring game called by LaFleur. This one, at least they kind of mixed in, you know, some end arounds, gave it to to Berrios in the backfield. They gave one to Elijah Moore, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so, and they tried to put a bootleg or two.
Yeah, they tried to like mix it up a little bit, but like I gotta think that'll change for sure when Wilson comes back. But yeah, for now, I feel like they need to get like LaFleur needs to switch things up a little bit. But it was good to see on these last like two drives that these designs were certainly working, using the talent of these players, you know, to like what they're supposed to be doing and modifying the plays to do that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things that the coaching staff, I saw a tweet, somebody saying this, one of the biggest things the coaching staff realized after week one was that Garrett Wilson was not on the field nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you have a guy like Garrett Wilson out there, Connor Rogers, another Connor,
yep,
the third Connor mentioned today, he said on the post game show on SNY right after, talking about what a difference maker Garrett Wilson is, and he just opens up everything else for everybody. Like everybody, when you have a game breaker like that on your team, he's right. Like it just makes everybody's lives easier. The defense starts keying in on him more. He went from, I believe it was 49% snaps to 69%, and he was targeted 15 times this game.
What do you need to do?
I mean, yeah, I think that that's an understatement to say that the offensive staff realized that they weren't utilizing him more. I mean, he's unlike anything the Jets have had in quite some time. He looks like the best receiver the Jets have had since Brandon Marshall in 2015.
It's not a bold claim. I mean, Brandon Marshall's 2015 season was the best season the Jets wide receivers ever had. And that was by and far the best, you know, most fun I've ever watched the Jets receiver, you know, in a regular season, him and Decker.
He was dominant. It was awesome.
He's so absolutely dominant.
We get Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore for the next how many years? Like, sign me the fuck up. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
One, baby.
Yeah. So, when you have a guy like that, Mike LaFleur is just like, it just makes his job so much easier. Chad Ochocinco said before the game, said the Jets offensive coordinator has the easiest job in football when you have guys like Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. It's just, I mean, the guy's been hyping up Zach Wilson and the Jets and this offense for so long. I mean, it feels like Chad knows what he's talking about a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he used to be a pretty good receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't just like the best route runner of his generation or anything, you know, like, yeah. So, I agree with you. I think that it was definitely a little vanilla. This week it got better, and I think that it's just going to get more and more creative as we go along. And they're not going to use everything at their disposal right away. Bill Belichick is notorious for saving plays for certain games and teams. You know, like I'm sure all NFL coaches like have tricks up their sleeves and plays that they save. You know, especially for like a mad scientist like LaFleur, who just like fucks around. It basically feels like he just fucks around and like, all right, we're gonna let's try this.
He just smokes a bunch of weed when he's designing the plays and be like, this will look cool.
Oh my God, I really hope that's the case, because that would be the coolest thing ever. That should be something that somebody does. Oh my God, that should be like a content idea, where like you get a hold of a coach and you guys smoke weed and you just like try to draw plays and like see like if anything like clicks. Yeah, you guys should do that at like 137 or something. Just like get like a coach in the off season and be like, all right, we're gonna smoke weed and see what happens. And that's just it.
What else could happen? Like, yeah.
And if you guys do that, I'm taking credit for it. By the way, that idea. All right. So yeah, man, that was craziness. Absolutely bananas. But that Corey Davis play happened. And then the onside kick, man. I mean, when that onside kick happened, I was freaking the fuck out. I could not believe that they got that. The whole, first of all, shout out Brandon Mann for absolutely grabbing his jaw by the balls and not letting go.
Yeah.
Okay. That guy.
The fake punt, and then he gets the onside kick. Like,
yeah.
That guy. Shit, and he came out.
they brought in a punter to basically, you know, take his job.
But
he was terrible. He was so bad. And, you know, he showed up. Shout out to him, man. Credit to Brandon Mann for not letting his job get taken by somebody else. Right. And he came out and played fantastic. He averaged almost 50 yards on his punts. I mean, that's all you can ask for from your punter. Just not mess up. It was one of the best special teams performances as a unit that the Jets have maybe ever had, honestly.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. The punts were great. Berrios was getting like 25, 30 yards per like a return. Felt like, you know, always getting to like the 30 and giving them like good field position. The fake punt was fantastic. The onside kick. I mean, it was just top to bottom, an excellent job for that unit. And then Justin Hardy recovering it, the special teams god.
Special teams captain.
I remember when we first signed him, we were both saying like, all right, like this is supposed to be a good special teams guy. And we got like, who's the special teams coordinator again? He's amazing. I can't remember anyone forgetting his name. Yeah. Brent Boyer is fantastic. Guy's a genius. Yeah. And I mean, these are the guys you need, the guys who can make plays happen. You got to win in all three phases of the game.
Exactly.
Special teams is so important and it's so underrated. And the Jets won that game because of special teams. So shouts to him. And then that drive, man. I mean, it was just, I texted my friend. I was like, all right, time to clench.
Right.
You know, like hold on to your butts.
Game time.
You know, I think so. There's so much I wanted to talk about with this drive, starting with the very first game that we had. So it was a incomplete to Conklin. I keep on saying Tonklin. Like Tonka trucks, like, you know, those Tonka trucks.
Oh, yeah.
So Conklin dropped, I guess he dropped the pass or something, or it was just incomplete. Second and 10 at our own 47, which, by the way, when you get the onside kick, your field position is just amazing. Like,
yeah.
It's so low key. Carter gets that pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he could have stepped out probably, and it would have been second and 2. But he made like this cut. This such a low key cut inside and like just kind of swept around like the defender and then got to like
you gotta get 5 yards.
Yeah, and he got a 12-yard gain there out of that and got out of bounds. That was so underrated that he was able to do that. Then a flag comes out and I'm like, great, game's over.
Awesome.
It was a neutral zone infraction.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. That doesn't happen for the Jets. then Conklin, 4-yard catch. I don't remember anything crazy about that, but they just started going no huddle. Another pass to Carter on 2nd and 1. Because that was 1st and 5, then 2nd and 1, 5 yards, incomplete to, Ty Johnson. I remember that. I was like, at the backfield. I was like, why the hell
is Ty Johnson in here?
on this drive?
Yeah.
Ty Johnson's in? I'm sorry. You just shouldn't be seeing the field when there's less than a minute left in the football
game. I was losing it when I saw him back there.
Unless you're down by 30, he shouldn't be in. Or up by 30, he should not be in.
Right.
Johnson with a little catch over the middle for 12 yards. And I think this was a play that I saw in Baldy's breakdown, which Baldy was just loving the Jets. This, and when Baldy's loving the Jets, I mean,
everyone's loving the Jets.
Everyone's loving the Jets. So, Flacco to Wilson to the Cleveland 15 for 12 yards. He did like this little, like almost like a stop and go, where like he like slowed down his route and then he like
just cut,
accelerated. He, mm-hmm. he cut and accelerated and caught it. And that might have been the touchdown, I think. But no, I'm pretty sure he was going full speed that whole touchdown play. So I'm pretty sure it was that this play where he kind of like did this weird little slow down, and then like he just like stop and go almost, and just like just exploded out of the route, and got a big 12-yard catch that made up for that drop. Incomplete to Elijah Moore after that, and then incomplete past right. Miles Garrett almost had him, and he threw it away to Berrios's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Garrett Wilson passed from Joe Flacco.
Touchdown.
Greg Zuerlein, extra point is good. Center. Hennessy. Holder. Man. Touchdown. And then the extra point. And I still thought they were going to lose.
So did I.
They get the touchback. Brissett scrambles for 21 yards. They get to the Cleveland 46.
I was, like, so upset. I was like, you're letting Jacoby Brissett cook you on the ground.
I know.
This is happening.
There was it says that, I mean, I don't think that play started with 6 seconds. I think there was, like, 12 seconds left.
It might have been more. It might have been, like, 20.
There was like 12 to 15 seconds left or something like that. And, like, they had plenty of time. They had timeouts. They get a completion over the middle. They can clock it, and then they get like a long, like 55-yard field goal to win. And Ashton Davis, of all people, comes out of nowhere.
King
came out of nowhere and intercepted it, and the Jets won the football game. Man, I mean, like you said at the beginning of the episode, this could have been 5 minutes of us just being like, "There's no words." I mean,
what are you gonna say? Speechless.
I'm out of words. I'm out of words right now after going through that. Like, it was just an unbelievable win. I've not been that fired up by a regular season win ever. Maybe that Jets Patriots.
Yeah, I say that. I say that because I was there.
So
the crowd afterwards, like everyone's walking out, like, you know, chanting, like doing the Jets chant, people yelling at Patriots fans that were leaving the game. Like, it was a beautiful thing. That one, especially because then you're going in, and obviously we know how Week 17 played out that year. But then you're going in, you're like, "All right, this is a win and in. Like, we can get to the playoffs." You know, you're feeling good, and for a whole week, you're feeling great. So that's probably the only one that like has matched it in a while.
This one was more improbable and wilder, though. Like just the last minute 30, like. Nothing. I've never experienced anything like that, like as a fan, like ever, like ever as in any sport. And it was just, it was craziness. I've never seen that. And like, I guess, you know what? No, I mean, the Mets like did a couple of things this year, even alone, that were just as crazy as like that 7-run comeback in the 9th against the Phillies, and then that win against the Cardinals. But the 7-run comeback against the Phillies was absolutely nuts, but it just means more in football because there's less games, and
right, exactly,
you know. And also, this team hasn't won a game in September since 2018. It just was crazy. It was amazing. The most fun I've had watching football in quite a long time. All right, game balls. Offense up first. Who are you giving a game ball to?
I feel like this is a no-brainer, but Garrett Wilson, over 100 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. We saw all the athleticism that we were, you know, that we were shown, we were promised him from him coming out of college. He only had the one drop, but like he made up for it in every other facet of the game. To me, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It was either going to be him or Flacco, but like to me, it's Garrett Wilson. I mean,
Flacco threw for
over 300 yards, 300 touchdowns would be something. 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, didn't throw any picks, have the fumble. So if there was like, you know, it was like probably neck and neck, but Wilson is just like, also I'm just more excited about Wilson. We're not going to be seeing Joe Flacco in like 2-3 weeks.
Right.
I'm more excited about Wilson. That also plays into it.
Just so you know, I was listening to Sala on the Michael Kay show earlier. The game ball itself, the actual game ball, did go to Joe Flacco.
I'm honestly not surprised.
Like, not surprised, right? I mean, that's the coach doing it, but like you said, we don't care about Flacco. We care about Garrett Wilson, and Garrett Wilson earned a game ball for sure. My guy, you went offense, so I'm doing the defense. My game ball goes to somebody who only played 5 snaps the entire game.
Oh.
Brandon Echols.
Brandon Echols. Okay. Okay.
Is getting my game ball. And I'll tell you why. You know, it wasn't like anybody did anything crazy on the defense. They kind of just got smoked all day. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult to think about, like, who deserved this game ball. It wasn't even actually that difficult. I lied. It wasn't that difficult because I knew right away who I picked. I put it down right away. It was in the it was the first drive of the second half. It was 11 plays, 76 yards, and ended in a field goal for the Browns. And on the last two, so Sauce got hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sauce came out on, I believe it was like first and goal. Amari Cooper, and then there was a roughing the passer. So it was first and six. So Chubb got them to the four, and then Brissett incomplete to the right to Njoku. It was broken up by Echols. Although I didn't give him credit here, but he did. He was on that play.
Right. Okay.
And then on third and four, Brissett incomplete pass short right to H. Bryant. I don't know what his first name is, H. Bryant. But Echols made a diving stop, which, like, looked like just, like, I mean, it didn't look like Brandon Echols making that play. It looked like Sauce making that play. I mean, it looked like a guy, like an elite corner making that play. That was one of the biggest moments of the game, because if they don't get that, if they don't get that stop, they go up 21-14 there.
Right.
That changes the game completely.
Totally.
Completely changes the game. So Echols getting those two stops there, coming in cold for Sauce. I mean, that's like a guy coming off the bench, like, you know, like Kobe gets hurt and you bring Robert Horry off the bench. He hits like two big threes and you win the game. You know?
Yeah.
That's like just
a comparison.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Sauce is Kobe, but, you know, just like, you know, a starter coming out and, you know, this guy comes in and just makes two of the biggest plays of the whole game. It's humongous. So Brandon Echols, you get a game ball. Good for you. You earned those five, like, you know, those five snaps. You made the most of it. For
exactly.
Sure. All right. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
What are our expectations now? Okay. Right now, the New York Jets have an opportunity. Start this season 3-1. They got two teams coming up that are not very good. As of right now. Now, the Bengals are the defending AFC champions, and they beat them last year. They're 0-2. They've lost two tough games so far. The Jets have a 21% chance, according to ESPN's matchup predictor and their football power index, to win this game. But the Bengals are 0-2, and the Jets are 1-1.
Right.
Right? You said earlier that you don't like this talk of 3-1, and that there's a little bit of a delusions of grandeur.
Because I'm the pessimist.
Yeah. So as of right now, the Bengals have lost to the Steelers and the Cowboys. And they get the Jets and the Dolphins and the Ravens and the Saints. I mean, they got a tough schedule coming up. And I can include the Jets in there now because, you know, the Jets just beat a good team. The Jets just beat a team that's supposed to make the playoffs. So tell me why you're not on board with 3-1. Even like, I'm not even saying I think the Jets are going to go 3-1. I'm just saying that I'm inclined to be open to the possibility. Like, I'm open to being open to the possibility that they can go 3-1 right now because of how terrible two teams they have ahead of them have looked, especially the Steelers.
Yeah.
2-2, sign me up. Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. 2-2, I think, is much more likely. The reason I'm not quite on board with 3-1 is because up until the last 90 seconds of that game, they were losing by double digits.
Yeah.
We thought that it was going to be a final of 30-17. Like, they were going to lose by double digits again for the second straight week. And I think I even posted a tweet. It's just like, you know, Salah with all his talk, the receipts and stuff like that. Cool, you know, but you can't lose by double digits 2 weeks in a row, you know, not with the talent you have. You just can't do it.
Think about it this way. All right. So if you look at the two, I mean, the Browns are were a matchup nightmare for the Jets, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
What they're good at is rushing the passer. Our offensive line is not very good right now. They have two stud pass rushers in Clowney and Myles Garrett. What they're really good at is running the ball better than like anybody in football. And the Jets defense looked great in week one, stopping one of the more potent rushing attacks, but they were also without their starting running back. And they just keyed in on Lamar Jackson the whole time and stopped him, and they still lost.
Right.
They let up 180 rushing yards to the Browns. They're not doing that to the Bengals, who can't – their offensive line is the worst in football.
I mean, yeah.
It is. It's the worst.
It's a big week for the Jets pass rush. They got to show up.
Yeah. They have to show up.
Got to.
Carl Lawson and John Franklin Myers need to have one of their best games as New York Jets. I think he's going to be okay. I don't see anything like injury update. Samini posts everything on this ESPN feed, and I don't see anything. Well, we're going to get injury updates throughout the week, so I'm sure he'll be limited, and I think he'll be okay. But even then, like, hopefully Jermaine Johnson's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If not, like Bryce Huff will get some looks. That guy, oh my God, I got to look at the depth chart. Who's the guy we got from Houston?
Jacob Martin.
Martin. We need CJ Uzama back next week for a revenge game.
And Lawson.
And Lawson, both of them. Real quick, DJ Reed and Jordan Whitehead are so good. They are excellent tacklers.
Yes.
They're always there at the line of scrimmage making plays. It's just a joy to watch. And I didn't hear LaMarcus Joyner's name once last week.
Good. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, that's exactly what you want to hear, considering how, you know, he blew the play in the Ravens game with that big pass interference penalty. So, yeah, that was fantastic not hearing his name too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we basically started previewing this Bengals matchup, but, and now it's up to 23%. So, like, I don't even know how. The Jets are only plus 4.5 at home. Honestly, I'm very inclined to take the points, and I think the Jets are going to be in this game. I think they can straight up win this game.
Listen, I'm not going to say that they can't, because I definitely think they can. I'm just, you know, I always just am the pessimist here.
Of course.
They are on the side of caution.
I'm not saying they will. I'm saying that they are very capable of winning this game. It would be an unmitigated disaster for the Bengals to start 0-3 and have one of those losses be to the Jets.
Right.
Do I think this Bengals team is bad? No. I think that they have so much talent. They've had two tough weeks in a row. I think both of those games were on. Were they both on the road? No, the week one was at home. Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I really hope the Jets start 3-1 because then they got the Dolphins up. And let me tell you, those guys looked scary. That offense, they got if you start 3-1, you got the Dolphins, the Packers, and the Broncos, both Packers and Broncos on the road. I mean, like, you got there. If you want to be a playoff team like Salah wants to be this year, which we are very far away from talking about playoffs,
mm-hmm.
like, so beyond far away. But, like, games like this against a struggling opponent and you're coming in hot. Like, this can't be a letdown game. Good teams don't have letdown games. Like, exactly. You want to establish yourself and you want to keep on getting those receipts. You got to win this game. This is for Salah and the Jets' aspirations this year. If they want to do what they think that they're capable of doing, this is a must-win game.
That's it.
It really boils down to that. Like, if it's black and white. It's simple. Win this game.
And just win, baby.
Maybe they'll start taking you seriously. You start 3-1, and you get home against the Dolphins, and that's going to be the loudest MetLife has been with Green in the building.
Quite some time.
Since 2015.
Since
that Patriots game that you went to.
Probably. You know, that hasn't been maybe week two of 2018 after they came off the big win over the Lions, and Sam Darnold was like, you know, he looked great in that week one game outside of the pick six. So maybe week two, I remember that being, you know, everyone was hyped for that, and then they got like blown out, I think, by Miami. So
I think that they'd be even more hyped for this one, though. I think that they would be.
I think if they start 3-1 and go into a game against Miami at home. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The stadium would be absolutely nuts.
The Dolphins are good, though. They're good. I mean, they have so many weapons.
I don't know what the hell what happened with the Ravens yesterday. They were up by like a lot too yesterday, and then all of a sudden
they were up 3 touchdowns. They were up 35-14. They were up even more than the Browns were.
And then freaking Tua comes out and throws 450 yards and 6 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
Tua of all people? Give me a break. Come on, Baltimore.
Just coverage breakdown after coverage breakdown. It was crazy. And I've got confidence in the secondary. I do. I don't know how a team is supposed to handle Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Playing against them in Madden, they both have 97 plus speed. Like, it's not fair, man. You can't play against the Dolphins. It's not fair.
I mean, you know, knock on wood, they're both, you know, healthy going into the game, but it'll be Sauce and DJ on those two. You know, gotta hope for the best. This is why you draft Sauce, you know?
Yeah, I mean, don't they have like Trent Brown now and stuff? Or no. They who's that tooth and tackle that they got? Teron Armstead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. 20-17 against the pass, and they go to Baltimore and they do that. Oh, all right, so next week they get the Bills and then the Bengals. Hopefully they're 2-2.
It would be nice.
3-1. That would be nice.
It would be nice.
God, the Jets 3-1 against the 2-2 Dolphins, and then the Jets win, and they're 4-1, and they go against. And then they play for first place against Buffalo.
Are you kidding me? And they beat Buffalo.
Stop! All right. Listen, we're getting carried away. And yesterday, somebody was like, "Listen, you're getting carried away." I'm like, "Damn right! It's Victory Sunday. I'm getting carried away." He's like, "You know what? You're right. I'm sorry."
Victory Sundays.
You get carried away. Nah, I mean, listen, this team has a ton that they need to prove still. They do. And do I think this team is ready to compete? Nah, not yet. We don't know anything about what Zach Wilson's going to do. What we do know is that, you know what, Joe Flacco is capable of putting up a pretty decent start. 600 mm-hmm. pass yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. You know, he definitely was one. He was probably the main reason. He was 50% of the reason they lost on week one. He was probably 80% of the reason they won in week two.
Right.
70-80%. So we'll see. All I know is that Garrett Wilson is a superstar. And good luck to anybody. You know what? We got problems that teams have to deal with too. And that's what's great now.
Exactly. You feel good.
You have to deal with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore and Conklin and Uzama and Brees and Carter. I mean, the Jets got weapons now, and everybody else has to deal with those too. So, you know what? It's not like we're playing with nothing.
Exactly.
So,
not playing with Josh Malone and
Jeff Smith.
The best receiver being
Vincent Smith.
Braxton Berrios being the best receiver on the team. You know, those days are, you know, in the past, hopefully. You know.
No, this has the potential to be the best receiving core the Jets have ever had. So. Yeah. And you know what? I know it's week two, but it's the truth. Just in terms of sheer talent, like, that's just what it is. So,
there's reason to be excited.
Absolutely. Plenty of reason to be excited. Do you have a prediction for next week?
Let's see. Cincinnati. 30.
Yeah, we're on Cincinnati.
35-28 Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think it's a scoring game with both those offenses.
I think we'll go 35-31 Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think the Jets get the 30 points again, but they can't pull it off, and Cincinnati wins. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Jets win. I'm not ready to pick them to win. If they win against the Bengals, I'm picking them to win in Pittsburgh against the TJ Wattless Steelers team.
There you go.
But They would just be better than the Steelers at that point, and like on paper, and then they just have to just go and prove it. And then you're home against the Dolphins, which I kind of hope that Zach's ready for week four, because I don't want his first game back to be a big divisional game against the Dolphins.
Me too.
Yeah. Also, I thought for some reason after the Dolphins, it was the Bills. It's not, it's the Packers. So I apologize. Oh, I sounded stupid there.
That's a 3-game gauntlet for Wilson to come back in.
At the Packers, at the Broncos, home against the Patriots, home against the Bills, at the Patriots.
Oh, boy.
And then you get the Bears, the Vikings, the Bills, the Lions, the Jaguars, the Seahawks, the Dolphins. Like, they can add some wins at the end of the season and sneak into the wild card game, but listen, we're a ways away from that. So
it's a lot. All right. A tough middle of the road right there.
Yeah, definitely tough. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what this team's made of. Any final thoughts?
Feeling good. Feeling good, my friend. Feeling good.
Fantastic. Feeling excellent.
Damn right. Oh,
damn right. All right, man. You guys want to listen to any of our other episodes, you can do so. You can go to GothamSN.com, or you can find any of our other podcasts there or here. You can, the following places: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. And I think that's it. Yeah. That's it. If you want to follow myself on Twitter, you can do so at Jesse Finver. If you want to follow Connor, Connor, you want to tell them where you can find it? They can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at the NJ Mick.
And why are you the NJ Mick?
Because I'm Irish, Jesse, and I'm from New Jersey.
You're damn right you are.
And I have to say, we're neighbors now.
We only live
about, you know, 8 or 9 blocks away from one another. So
we gotta watch a Jets game soon. We'll go to like McSwiggins or something. We'll watch a Jets game. It'll be fantastic. I cannot wait.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll have to do like a Thursday night game, because I'm gonna be working like ridiculous hours.
I say yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right, man. Go Jets.
Go Jets.
I'm so happy. My week has been made. Penn State won. The Jets won. The Mets swept the Pirates.
Just
keep on winning with the Mets, and we get good feelings in October for the Mets and the Jets. That's never happened before.
It's been tonight. They're in the playoffs, baby. It's all that matters.
Yeah. 2015 was the last time we had both those teams playing well. So let's keep winning. Mets win tonight. They're in the playoffs. That's right.
Positive vibes only.
Let's go Ets teams. Mets and Jets. All right. All right, folks. Peace.